Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
You know, brothers and sisters, when we look into the ways, naturally speaking, and we look into the places of restaurants around the country, and we find that there's all different kinds of food to eat. Sometimes people will take the same food, but they prepare it differently. But it's still the same food. You know, you go into a Pentecostal work, and they might show a little bit of more of what you might say zeal or enthusiasm. And they're going to plant a seed. The Pentecostal might take the pine tree out to plant. They might dance around it a few times and shout and holler a little bit. You know, and you might take a conservative, one that maybe is a little bit laid back, a different denominational work, you might say. And there's so many different kind of Pentecostals. And nowadays it's hard to identify anybody and say, well, this is a Baptist or a Methodist or a Pentecostal or whatever Church of God. Because there's so many variations about every kind of denominational work is split up in so many different ways. Because they had, well, I'm not really in agreement with this, or I'm not in agreement with that, or I think there's a different interpretation. When there's really no private interpretation, the Word of God, there is one correct interpretation of the Word, and you'll only find that by the leading of the Spirit of God. But as one would say, one might plant the seed with the dance and a shout, and the other one just go out there and put it in and push some dirt over it, and they're going to get the fruit of it. And as I say about restaurant, they might cook chicken differently at the Chinese restaurant than they do over here at the Southern cooking place. You know, or at the Mexican place, they'll cook chicken different, but it's all chicken, but it tastes totally different. I'm sure that the nourishment to the body is going to be the same, but it's different. And you know, people learn to have different desires and likes when it comes to the way that they eat of the Word of God. Speaking to a minister friend of mine over in Oklahoma, ministered in his church many years ago and different things, and he's been involved in traveling around. And he was talking about a new pastor. And he says, well, I don't really like the way that he ministers. He said that he does more teaching. He said, I like preaching. Now see, a man could take and teach the word and take his time and just talk with you a little bit. And some people don't like that. They don't feel like they've been in church. They want to come in and they want to see the preacher excited and moving back and forth across the platform, shout a little bit. There is an ordination, a timing, and the Spirit does move in both perspectives. You see, the Bible does teach us that people perish from a lack of knowledge. But the Bible also says that knowledge puffeth up. So you think, well, what do I need to do? The people are going to perish if I don't bring a knowledge to them. But then yet I bring a knowledge and they get puffed up. It depends on how you eat of that. You see, when you eat of it as unto the Lord and taking and eating of that, it's not going to puff you up in your intellectual mind. You see, but it'll bring an inward strength in the Spirit of God within your heart and your life. You see, nowhere is it where we get into the scriptures and we get into a thing of, you know, that we study and we find a competitive world that we live in. We find that everybody's competitiveness, and it makes the world function in a more prosperous way. When people are in a realm of competitiveness, like, well, I could get this job quicker than this guy done, it makes a competitive market, it makes a prosperous market in the perspective that, you know, hey, we're going to get it done in a quicker time, means it maybe could save a dollar or two. You know, and people are competing in prices, they're competing in time, they're competing in everything. But when you get into the Word of God and the things of God, you see, it isn't a competition with a brotherhood or like, well, I know more scripture, I know more Bible, or I know this or know that. Anything that we do is for Christ to be esteemed. Anything and everything that we do. Everything that we touch, everything that we do should esteem the Lord Jesus Christ. The thing is that dealing, I use many times a natural allegory to understand a spiritual revelation, we might say, or a spiritual understanding. Jesus did it. He talked to him about sowing and reaping. He talked to him about farming and those things. And you know, was he concerned about you being a good farmer? Well, he was concerned about people's natural lives, their well-being, their prosperity, you know, their provisions for their family. He was concerned about that. But that wasn't what the thrust of what he was trying to teach. He wasn't trying to teach you how to be just a good farmer. He was trying to teach you the principles of sowing in the Spirit. And when I use allegories of restaurants and things, you know, I've taken people in and taken them to a different kind of a restaurant that they've never eaten at before. And they look at the food and, man, they push it away. And probably one of the worst is Hillbilly Boy. And I mean, if it's beans and, you know, a little bit of potatoes or something like that, it's okay. But anything outside of that Southern cooking, man, it's like he just pushed away without even trying it. That could be a negative type, spiritually speaking, because sometimes people come into the midst and say, well, this is different than what I'm accustomed to. If I was raised a Catholic and the rituals of worship and the way the Catholic peoples worship God and the ritualistics that they do, you come into a different kind of word, you think, jeez, man, these people are way out there. You know, there's people that come up in teaching of different spiritual gifts that they're not for today. Well, these people believe in healing. I don't believe in healing. Well, you know, why don't you believe in healing? Where does God's word change? I believe in all of God's word. Now, the thing is that you say, well, God isn't a healer, and you're exactly right. He's not, because you limited him and told him that he isn't. The Bible says, talking about binding the things that are in heaven and the things that are in earth. And many times, you know, we think about that we're going to bind the enemy, the devil, and that we're going to bind him. There is going to be a binding. There are 1,000 years you're thinking of being bound in chains and put in the bottomless pit. But the thing is can we bind him right now? The thing is what most people are binding are the things of God because of unbelief. You see, they're binding up the things. There's certain things that move God. Faith moves God. And without faith, you cannot know God. You cannot please God. So if you don't have faith, you've bound God from projecting himself or manifesting himself to you as an individual. If you don't believe and have faith in believing that he is a healer, you've bound faith and bound up the healing attributes of God. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever, according to the scriptures and the word. And if you don't believe that he could heal you, he can't and he won't because of your unbelief. He says he gives you the fruit of your thoughts, not of his thoughts. That's why the Bible says, think on these things. Think on these things that are righteous and virtuous. You know, think on these things that are godly and holy. This is the way that we need to think as Christians. But many times we think out of natural mind. We think out of carnality. The carnal mind is enmity with God, the Bible says. The carnal mind is death. But he is the spirit of life. So what is it and how do we think? As I say, I take a guy into a natural restaurant and they push it away. I can remember a sister who took her to a Mexican restaurant, never had eaten in a Mexican restaurant. And they put the guacamole up there and she looked at it and thought, oh my, and turned away from it. And I said, hey, I'll take that. Man, praise God, I got me a double portion of that stuff now. Boy, and you take your cracker or whatever and you stick it over in, man, this is good. And I said, you ever tried that? No. And I said, well, why don't you take a taste of it? Just taste it. So she took it and tasted it. And boy, she took a taste of it and she reached over and got it back. You see, but what was the thing there, brothers and sisters? You know, because of a state of mind, because it was something looked up, she wanted to take it, but when she partook of it, she liked it. You see, when I'm coming up in different realms of different religions and different kind of things, you know, you're in this church and they say, man, we are the church. You know, you go amongst the Baptists, man, we are the proper denomination. We're Baptists, us and us. You get out there with the Methodists, you get out there with any of them, they're all going to say that. And sometimes when you come up in those rooms, oh, I've heard them Pentecostals are no good. Boy, I heard that them Jesus name people are no good. I heard this and that. But you know, when I came to a point of time that I would start observing people in these different walks of life, and I would see they had joy of God and happiness, and they had the fruit of the Spirit and doing things as unto the Lord. And I'm thinking, why did they tell me that they're not right? Why did this church tell me that these aren't good? You ever be in a competitive market and you know you go out there to do a job and you find a guy saying, oh yeah, this guy's no good. I'm the guy. This guy doesn't know how to work. I'm the man. You see, and it's the same way all these things infiltrate together in religion or whatever. And people are going to smite something to make them look like they are the one, you know, or their religion is the one. You know, brothers and sisters, there's different measures. The Bible said there's some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. Now, if there's different measures, there may be not somebody that's in the measure that you're in with the revelation that you have or the understanding. Much of the Bible says much given is much required of you. When much is given to you, it's not requiring more of them, it's requiring more of you. And the thing is, as many times you come to revelation or understanding, then you start requiring it of everybody in the whole world. A man told me one time when I started coming to revelational teaching and knowledge and different things, told me, he said, your whole ministry was an abomination in the eyes of God before I came there. If I went back to that kind of ministry, it would be an abomination in the eyes of God. But I was walking in the best that I knew at the time. And I'm trying to follow after the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God led me to where I was at that time. And I remember talking to my pastor about it, and he said, the brother should have never said that. He'll pay a price for that. And the man has been in a wilderness. I'm not saying because he said that, but that's the way the man thinks. It's not because he said that to me, that the man's life is in array or in problems. It's not because he made that statement to me. You see, I don't think that way. It's because those are the kind of the way the man thinks in his heart, and that's the way he observes all of everything, and it keeps him in a disarray or a wilderness because of the way that he thinks. If God is going to give us the fruit of our thoughts according to the Scriptures, then what are our thoughts? Our thoughts, and are we thinking on the things that he says that we should be thinking on? You know, as I was counseling a man not long ago, I said, look, if every brother in this church is on their way to hell, including myself, does that justify what you do? Well, it doesn't justify what you do. It doesn't justify what you're doing. If everybody in this work is on their way to hell, there's no place. You see, we've got to take and eat of this word, and we're accountable to what we eat of and what we know and what we understand, and try to bring people to a greater understanding in the Lord Jesus Christ and show forth the love of God to the best of our ability and show forth and let his life live within us and let him live, let him dwell, let him speak, and let him have his way. Amen. That's when we start coming to the understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has truly done for us. Now going back, we'll read some scripture here in just a moment, but just gathering some thoughts for a moment and some minds. If we think, and we think of all the different churches, and we think of all of them, we say, well, what's right? Do you think that you're right? Do you think? And I say, no, I don't think that I'm right. I found that my mind and my ways are contrary to God's ways. The Bible said God's ways are not man's ways. I found that me as a man, I'm not right with God. I'm a wretched man, and I need a Savior. I need salvation. I need to be washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I have to be born again. So I can't reason in my own intellectual mind and understanding about being right or wrong. I know that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So I'm not to justify myself, but he justified me by the washing of the blood of the Lord Jesus. So then if I am a new creature in Christ Jesus, and this Bible says that old things passed away and all things become new, what passed away? It had to have been my old way of thinking, carnality, my old way of thought had to be the part that passed away and done. So what we have to do when the Bible says to let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, we got to start thinking like God. Now when we start thinking like God thinks, it's totally different than the way that you think, and you've got to start analyzing the way that you're thinking and changing the transformation of mind, the Bible says, and start transforming your mind into the way that God thinks. Amen. When you think that you only like food a certain way and you turn things away because you never saw that, you see, you could be robbing yourself of some pleasure, natural pleasure, some kind of a natural enjoyment of some kind of food. Man, when you travel around the world in different parts of the country, you see a lot of different kind of preparations of food. But you look at the people, but they seem to be being nourished. When we get into America, where there's so many different kinds of delivering of the same word. Now, there's many people in deception, and we know that because the Bible teaches us that. There is many people in deception that are deceived. The Bible said it's impossible to deceive the elect of God. But then yet, if the Word of God does teach us, and we all know so well, that if you teach any other doctrine than what Jesus Christ taught, then let them be accursed. Now, when we think letting them be accursed, there's people in a simplistic mindset that God does not judge and God does not curse. That we're in just a dispensation of time of what we call grace. Dispensation has to do with a timely perspective. And we are in an order in a time of grace right now. And the thing is that grace doesn't mean that God doesn't judge. It means that there is a stay and a holdback of the judgment of God. But there will be a time to the perspective, depending on how you differentiate this. We do know that we've entered into the judgment seat of Almighty God. We know that the Bible teaches that judgment begins in the house of God. And we do know that the Bible says, ye that are spiritual do judge all things. There's a teaching through the churches. We say so oftentimes that they teach, well, you can't judge. That's not biblical. You show me somebody that doesn't make godly judgments, I'll show you somebody that their household's out of order. I'll show you that their family, everything about them is out of order. We have to make judgments every single day. Now, but we find these being taught in our churches. We find that there's a real doctrine. People say something, you make a statement, well, you can't judge. Well, sure we can. Surely we can. The Bible said that we even judge the angels according to the scriptures. So then we got to say, now, why is this teaching being taught? Now, well, let me ask you something. If you were standing in the seat to be judged and you could get a doctrine started that there's no judgment at this time, it would make things go a lot easier for you, wouldn't it? And Satan, when the Lord Jesus Christ came there and walked up among them, he said, hey, are you here to judge us before our time? And they were crying out. And that's the same spirit that's crying out in America today that's saying, hey, you know, you can't judge us. It's not time of judgment. It's the same exact spirit that Jesus dealt with there. But you see, brothers and sisters, the Bible said some men's sins go before them and some go after. So there is a time of judgment. And if we don't receive the judgment on this side, brothers and sisters, that means it's on the other side. The Bible said that there's a sin unto death and there's another sin that isn't. And it said not to even pray for that one. So then we have to differentiate in sin of what sin is. And I find that many people don't really know and understand what sin is. I remember talking with Brother Pete. We were walking into a restaurant. I'm sure he'll remember this. And I was talking to him. We'd come out of a church service, was just fellowshipping. And I made a statement to him. It wasn't to the man that was in front of me. I said, the problem with the church world is they don't understand the blood of Jesus. They don't understand sin. And they believe that all sin is atoned for by the blood of the Lord Jesus. Now, we have a scripture that doesn't exactly say that. But the Bible does also say line upon line and precept upon precept. And we've got to take things and rightly divide the word of truth according to the Bible. Now, the thing is that, do I believe that all sin was atoned for by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? The Bible says, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. And I could say yea and I could say nay. And you say, well, now you've just violated the scriptures. Well, I could say yea in one dimension and say nay in another. And you say, well, that's shrewd. Well, no, it's biblical. And if you don't know how to differentiate between the water, blood, and the spirit, or the natural, physical, and spiritual, then you'll be confused in your thoughts, and then you'll be walking in doctrines of devils in many times and not even be aware of it. You see, there is grace of God for you, that God will be merciful to you even when you're in false doctrine, because he's drawing you and leading you into the truth. But as I made a statement to that man turned around and put his finger in my face and he said, brother, the blood of Jesus Christ atones for all sin. And I said, you're wrong. Even though we have a scripture that says that, and we understand the scripture because we rightly divide the word of God. But if it atones for all sin, then why does the Bible say not to even pray for that one sin? And why does the Bible say that there's no forgiveness on this side or in the world to come if it atoned for all sin? And if the Bible teaches us that once you've tasted, if you read in Hebrews 6, and once you've tasted, just paraphrasing a little bit, I'm not quoting exactly, but it says there, you can go read it for yourself. The Bible says, do as the Bereans do. Go and read it out, study it out for yourself. But it said, but once you've partaken of that world to come, or of these heavenly things and these heavenly gifts and partaken of that, and then you go back into willful sin, it said there remaineth no more sacrifice for that. And this is one of the problems, again, of the church. They believe that they can continue on in a sinful lifestyle, partaking of the things of the world, and it's covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the thing is there's a really fine line right here, because there are people that will be walking into things that if you were walking into might be imputed to you as sin. The Bible said, blessed is the man who God does not impute sin. I'm quoting a lot of scripture here. You can go look them up for yourself. We'll do some reading of the scripture, but the scriptures are living and alive in us, and they dwell and they come forth. And we will read the word of God here before we get done. But the thing is brothers and sisters, we need to understand things of such. This is simplistic doctrine to most of you. But the thing is we've got to remember these things and meditate upon these things, teach these things, that we can understand God. So if we were going to differentiate sin, and if there's a sin that's unto death and one it isn't, we say, blessed is man who God does not impute sin. Then there's another one that we could say isn't blessed, sin is imputed to. Now, because we're blessed that God doesn't impute things as sin, then again, as I've said in times past, that two men could be about the same thing in the very same action, and it could be imputed to one as sin and one not. The Bible said sin is not imputed unless there's a knowledge of it. So then we start finding out about a knowledge. The Bible talks about the gifts. Talks about a gift of knowledge, a gift of wisdom, a gift of tongues, interpretation of tongues and healing, gift of prophecy. Now, many times people say, well, you know, these things aren't in action today. And they're not for them because they simply believe they're not. The Bible teaches that it's all one and the same spirit when you're speaking of these gifts. It didn't say, you know, they were different gods. It's all by one God that all these gifts come. And these gifts are for you and I. And the Bible says the gifts and callings come without repentance. So then we find that these gifts are there for us. And if there is a gift of knowledge that we could receive by God, or a gift of faith that we could receive by God, then again we'd have to differentiate knowledge. You see, there's a human knowledge that man could obtain to through the satanic influences in man's mind, with man's ever achieving. Satan is always trying to overthrow God. Man in science, the Bible says science, falsely so-called science, is thrusting with everything that they got, with every ounce of resources and finances to understand life. They're trying to do cloning and things for they could create life. They're trying, it's Satan trying to overthrow God, is what it is. It's Satan trying to come to understand life, that they could create life and go bypass God, the creator of all things. And that's what Satan is trying to do. Man, in his intellectual mind, through the satanic influences, is in a strive for knowledge and knowledge and going. And they're going out into space and exploring the depths of the oceans and all these things, because man has got this drive and is to expand in his mind. Now the thing is that's a reflection of God. You see, the Bible said worlds without end, ever expanse of the kingdom of God. So that's why we find and know God. But then yet there's reverse side of it. I can remember sharing with you years ago talking about when you look in a mirror. The guy in the mirror is always contrary to you. You raise up your right hand, he raises up his left. You walk north, he walks south. You walk south, he goes north. Everything's contrary. There's a pattern in it. I know what he's going to do. I could not predict what he's going to do. I know everything that he is going to do when I'm looking at him in the mirror. I know if I wink my right eye, he's for sure going to wink his left. Now, when I wink my right eye and he winks his right, we got a problem. But you see, there's a pattern there. What I'm speaking about is there's a pattern that's going to be consistent. Well, see, when you understand the things of God, you'll find a consistency in the things that are natural and in things that are spiritual. Paul saying that he come to the depths of Satan. He had to come to the depths of understanding Satan for he could understand God. If you want to understand God in the heights and the depths and the widths and the lengths, you're going to also understand Satan. If you want Christ to be revealed in your life, Satan is going to have to be revealed in your life. Now, this is where we get into a lot of different teachings that we would say that would maybe, I'm not going to say set us apart, but set the Christian people apart. I made a statement, I've made it numerous times, that the Bible teaches that the son of perdition must first be revealed before Jesus Christ can be revealed. So we say the revelation of the Lord. The Bible says, pray that God would grant unto you the spirit of revelation, the revealing of Christ in your life. But Satan must first be revealed in your life. We think of the Antichrist, and the standard teaching is that the Antichrist is some futuristic thing going to come on the earth. But do they have Bible for that kind of foolish teaching? No. The Bible said there's many Antichrist among us. And why would we be waiting for the Antichrist? The Bible said when the sons of God came to present themselves that Satan was there also. I made this statement numerous times. I said just the other night in church service, I said, if you come to church all by yourself, nobody else comes in, you thought it was church night, and you mistaked it off a night, so you were the only one that showed up when the sons of God came to present themselves. We are the sons of God. The Bible said, now ye are the sons of God. This is why the Holy Ghost came, brothers and sisters, to empower us that we are the sons of God. Now the thing is that when you come to church all by yourself, and the Bible said the sons of God come, that Satan is there also. When you walk in the door by yourself, that scripture is fulfilled. When Jesus went on the Mount of Temptation all by himself, Satan was there also. And you say, well, yeah, but he showed up. He shows up every church service, brothers and sisters. He shows up in your thoughts every single day. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's going to be there attacking your mind and your thoughts every day. You don't have to wait for some carnal-minded man to come in your presence or some worldly person or somebody on the other side of darkness, we might say. He is going to be there perplexing your mind. You've heard me say in times past about schizophrenia. The doctors diagnosed this man, said, man, he's schizophrenic. You know, he's got two different personalities or two different thoughts. Well, they're going to diagnose every one of you that way. Because there's all different kinds of thoughts in your head. How many can say that they control every thought that comes in their head? I can't do that. And you say, well, maybe you need to go get medical help. I found the great physician, Jesus. Amen. Now, if the Bible said to cast down every thought and every vain imagination that exalted itself before God, then God knows something, that your thoughts, there's thoughts that come into your head that you need to cast down. We all deal with thoughts. If you were in the world as a worldly man with worldly thought and you came to transform your mind, what are you transforming? You're changing the way that you think. So if you're changing the way that you think, there's an old way that you thought that has to be cast down. If you were an alcoholic, there's going to be a thought. You're going down the road and you see the Budweiser sign or whatever. Boy, that old beer sounds pretty good. No, we're casting that thought down. It don't sound good. Man, that's going to put me in hell. I don't want nothing to do with that. You see, now we're talking schizophrenia, I guess. Well, man, this one side of me wants to do this. Paul made it very clear in the scriptures. He said, oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me from this body of death? He said, the things that I want to do are the very things I find myself not doing, and the things I don't want to do are the things I find myself doing. You see, so now here's a guy that we find wrote two-thirds of this New Testament. We know it was inspired and written by God, but it was utilized by God through the inspiration of the Spirit of God to write, put these things down. And here he is, he's saying, man, the very things I want to do, I don't do. Was he schizophrenic? You see, brothers and sisters, this is why we got to learn to start considering and thinking. You see, if you think that every thought comes to you through the ordination of your own mind and your own brilliance and your own understanding, then you're missing it. You see, Satan is the accuser of the brethren, and he is going to bring accusing thoughts to you. You're not of God. God don't love you. You know, you've been cut off. You this, yeah. You see, there's nobody else involved. There's nobody else to blame. Well, this brother came and discouraged me. This guy that was full of the devil did this. See, he's not nowhere around. But you see, you were receiving thoughts. And you have to learn that God will give you the fruit of your thoughts. Now, because of some kind of teaching that you have set under, and they say that God does not heal, then you believe that, and now you don't allow God to be a healer in your life when he's the same today, yesterday, and forever. And the Bible said that healing is the children's bread. But you have come to an indoctrination that God doesn't heal, and you believed it. And you believed a lie, and you're damned. And you have robbed yourself of walking into the attributes of healing. Now, I know that there's so many healing ministries all over, and they're laying hands on people or falling on the floor and all this. And what it is it's an anti-type. Many times the Bible said the rain coming on the just and on the unjust, and the gifts and callings are without repentance. And there's many times that it is the healing virtue of God, but it's manifesting itself through unbelievers. It doesn't make the minister right if he lay hands on somebody and they are healed. It doesn't make him a man of God. It just makes God a healing God. The minister may be lost on his way to hell, but the word of God is utilizing if the rain comes on the just and the unjust. So we have to learn that the glory and the honor goes to God. You know, the people all around, I've got a healing ministry. I've got a ministry of faith. I got this and that. You know what you need to have? It needs to be Christ ministering whatever it is. If they need teaching, teach. If they need a word of faith, give them a word of faith. If they need a word of knowledge, give them a word of knowledge. If they need tongue or interpretation or prophecy, you know, that's what you need to be, is whatever God is utilizing or needing to be done in that day. You know, it's like, man, I believe in tongues. Paul said that if you speak whatever, 10,000 or whatever words or 5,000 words in tongues, it's unfruitful to people. If I got up here and just started speaking in tongues, what's it going to do? Y'all going to be looking at me and wonder what he's saying. You don't benefit from that, even though it builds up my innermost strength according to the scriptures. But you see, we'd rather speak 5 words that are could be understood and comprehended, that you could grow in the grace and knowledge of God. Does that mean so we don't believe in the gift of tongues? No. We believe in the gift of tongues, and there's a proper time and a proper place and a proper prayer closet that you would exercise these things to build up your innermost gift. But why are there so many different denominations say, oh, tongues is of the devil, when it's so clear in the scriptures? Why do so many say he doesn't heal when it's so clear in the scriptures? How come so many say that he doesn't speak today and he hasn't manifested since he was with the apostles? I'm sure glad that my God hasn't split for 2,000 years. How come their churches, the mainline churches, are teaching that we're waiting on the coming of the Lord? Why? And people sit under that. Did your God forsake you? He said, I've never left you or never forsaken you. But then yet you're going to sit here and teach, well, he's coming back someday. You see, we got to start thinking about what we're being taught. If he's never left us and forsaken, what am I waiting on? If he said, well, two or three come together in my name, then what are we waiting on? I believe he's here. I believe he's dwelling in a many-member body. The Bible said, what you've done to the least of these, my brethren, is what you've done unto me. Christ is with us. He's living and dwelling with us. What are you waiting on? What is your hope for? The Bible says that deferred hope sickeneth the heart. This is why the church world is in a sickened condition, because they've had a deferred hope. Oh, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. And it hasn't happened because he's already came and they did not see it. He said, it's expedient that I go back to the Father, for I can send back the Holy Ghost. Does anybody deny that that didn't take place? Well, he told them to go to Jerusalem and tarry there until they received power. Can anybody say that 10 days after that they did not receive power? It's recorded in the Word, and this Word be true. And I believe the Word. So they received the power of God. What is the power of God? It's the Spirit of God. Without His Spirit, you're none of His. He gave us His Spirit that we could be the sons of God. Now we are the sons of God. So now, you see, if I, through the teaching here this morning, I take hope away from many people. Well, I had this hope that Jesus was coming back. And now you're telling me. No, I'm trying to encourage you to know that he's here for you. I'm trying to encourage you that he dwells within our heart, the kingdom of God within. I'm trying to encourage you that when you say that you said the sinner's prayer and you ask Jesus Christ in your heart. And the Bible says that when you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, this is where many people don't understand the believing of the heart. When the Bible said that man's heart is continually wicked and evil, man doesn't even know his own heart. But then yet they say, I believe in my heart that Jesus is my Savior. And they don't even know their own heart. So they don't even know if they got salvation. This is why people walk around in such a disarray and a wilderness. This is why we don't see the fruits of the Spirit of God in their life. The manifestation of Jesus Christ in the earth. If Paul makes in a statement that he was crucified with Christ in the life that he now lives in his fleshly body, that he lives by faith. Faith being the substance of things hoped for, and things not seen. Now think about that. Are you walking in faith? You can't know God or please God without faith. So, what are you saying? I'm saying, brothers and sisters, listen. Some of these religious walls that we make around us, we've got to tear those things down and get into the Word of God. You know, there's many churches that are all split up because, well, we believe in the rapture. Do you believe in the rapture? Somebody first off open their Bible and show me the rapture. There's not a word. Many churches are all split up because of Trinity. Somebody open their Bibles and show me Trinity in the Bible. Well, do you believe in the rapture, Brother Rob? Sure I do. Well, do you believe in post-tribulation rapture, mid-tribulation rapture, or pre-tribulation rapture? I believe in all three of them. Well, there's your problem. You're just all messed up in your thoughts and in your mind, and you just believe anything, and you could just fellowship everybody, and everybody could just walk together and all say we love God. No, the Bible says that two can't walk together lest they be in agreement, and I can't fellowship many people because it would be a defilement, and I'd be violation of the Word of God. But you see, there's some that say that I believe in a pre-tribulation rapture, and some say that I believe in a post-tribulation rapture, and they both have Bible. But we have to differentiate. As I said a moment ago, we got to differentiate sin. We've got to differentiate God. When I talk about Trinity, some say, well, God in three persons. There's no Bible for God in three persons. That's not biblical at all. That's Catholic doctrine. And the thing is that we can't believe that God is in three persons because the Bible says, let this word be true in every denomination, but the Bible says every man be a liar. So in the Bible, it says that Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus is God. It's like a little young girl, about 7, 8 years old, a brother and I was talking and was giving this, the two little sisters a ride home that come over to a Christmas program. And we were talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I made a statement, Jesus is God. The Bible says God with us, Emmanuel. Philip went to the Lord Jesus when he was walking among the earth and he said, hey, Jesus, when are we going to see the Father? Do you remember what Jesus' reply to Philip was? He said, how can you say you have not seen the Father when I've been with you so long? I and the Father are one. The Father's within me and I'm within the Father. So now, the thing is that we have to learn to understand it. I made a statement the other day. You know, they say that God the Father is the Father of Jesus Christ, but the Bible said it was the Holy Ghost that overshadowed Mary, we may say, to beget Jesus Christ. So is the Holy Ghost the Father? And the Bible said that Jesus was there when all things were created, and all things were created by Him and through Him. So He was always there. So how are we going to do this and make Jesus have a beginning 2,000 years ago at Bethlehem when He said He had no beginning and no end? So if Jesus had no beginning and no end, then what happened when He was birthed in a manger? What happened when He died over there? When they crucified Him right outside the gates in Jerusalem and He has no end? You see, you don't understand. They didn't understand Jesus when He walked here. Do you remember? You see, brothers and sisters, I'm not just opening up a lot of things to scramble your mind. Maybe I'm trying to tear down your foundation because your foundation is built on hay and rubble that you could start building a proper foundation. When Jesus come walking over and Mary was weeping about the death of Lazarus, and Jesus said, he's not dead. Oh, sure he is. He's been in the grave for 4 days. He stinketh by now. He assured him he's not dead. But he come over and he said, okay, so be it. But to them, he was dead. No breath, no heartbeat. That's not death. He said that he's asleep. So see, we have to differentiate death. There's a difference, brothers and sisters. When the Bible says, ye that are born of God, you cannot sin, and sin is the sting of death. The transgression of the law is sin, and sin is the sting of death. But when you are born of God and born of the Spirit, the Bible said His seed remaineth within you, and that you cannot sin. And if you cannot sin, you cannot die. And the Bible said that you're more than conquerors, and you've passed from death unto life. So what are you going to believe? I believe the Word of God. I'm going to have faith in believing in things that I cannot see, and believe them that they come to pass. And the thing is I'm going to keep on preaching but what the Word of God says. The Bible says that I've passed from death unto life. He said that I'm more than a conqueror, and I'm going to believe that. Amen? Speaking those things that they don't see. The Bible said that if you observe lying vanities, these are the things that you see with your eyes. If you observe the things of lying vanities, the Bible said you forsake your own mercy. So what am I going to believe? I'm going to believe the Word. I'm not going to believe what I see with my eyes. I'm going to believe the Word of God and what the Word of God says. And when you start believing what the Word says and speaking what the Word says and walking in faith in what the Word of God says, then you will see it manifest. If you are weak, the Bible said, let the weak say that they're strong. And you start speaking, I'm strong, I ain't got strength. Guess what? He's going to give you the fruit of your thoughts because you think you're strong. You believe that you're strong. The world sees you as weak, but you're going to start raising up strength. And it's the manifestation of the power of God in your life. So we've opened up a lot of things here this morning. So what is this about this rapture? Do you believe in post-tribulation, pre-tribulation, mid-tribulation? Yes. We got Bible for all of them. A lady came to church and she couldn't get out of here quick enough when she asked a question. Boy, she was backstroking, man. You ever see somebody backpaddling? She says, Brother Rob, do you really believe that the rapture's already taken place? And I said, sure I do. Boy, and she's thinking, man, this guy's out of his mind. Well, ask me if I believe that there is a rapture that's going to take place. Sure I do. Am I confused? When confusion's of the devil? The Bible said that we're dwelling in heavenly places, doesn't it? Now, if you're dwelling in heavenly places, there had to be some kind of a catching up. Now, the thing is that Satan is waiting there, according to the book of Revelations, to devour the child just as soon as it's born. Now, the thing is I've been born again. And yes, Satan was laying there to devour me. There was a place prepared in the wilderness for the woman. We go into a lot of teaching here. A place prepared and the woman fled into the wilderness. Now, the thing is that when we think of the bride of Christ, the woman perspective, and there was a place prepared, but what come forth out of the woman, the bride, is the sonship. The son's caught up to the throne. So if I dwell Christ within me, and he comes forth out of this earthen vessel, he came forth naturally speaking out of the earth, the tomb rolled back. He comes forth out of this earthen vessel, and Christ has got to come forth and live in your life. You see, brothers and sisters, you have to bring the Lord Jesus Christ alive and manifesting in the earth. Now, I made a statement at the beginning of this service. I said, you know, that we could bind God or we could make God powerless. You are the one that makes God what he is. There's some people that believe that God's a homosexual. Well, don't line up with his word, so we got to discount that. There's people that are in homosexual lifestyles thinking that they have God and the grace of God in their life and they can live that kind of lifestyle and have salvation. That's not what the Bible said. The Bible said that they will not inherit the kingdom of God. There's some that think that they could drink and live the life of a drunkard and still have salvation when he said no drunkard will inherit the kingdom of God. All liars will have their part in the lake of fire. And some people think they can go through this world and through this life, continue to lie and have God. Those are violations to the scriptures. He gave us the power of the Holy Ghost to overcome those things. He gave us the power, brothers and sisters. He filled us with power. When we receive the power of God in our life, I have to, the Lord's taken me there, and I'm going to have to sew up a couple of these little things that I won't leave you hanging in. I've said a lot of things that could make you think that I don't understand a lot of things. I could maybe have said a lot of things to make you think maybe I know something. It don't matter what I know. And what matters, brothers and sisters, is what his word says and what his word is. If I'm in error, God have mercy on me. God help me. The Bible said he has not given us a spirit of error, and I don't have a spirit of error. But the thing is, we need to press our way into the kingdom of God, and we need, the Bible teaches us very clearly, that we need to have a hunger and thirst after righteousness, and we need to want to partake and eat of this word. When we come around the word and we want to push it away like people do naturally speaking, and they just push it away, sometimes we're pushing things that are of God away, that if you would eat of this and you would partake of this, it would bring a strength and a life to you. You see, naturally speaking, a man doesn't eat, he perishes. Spiritually speaking, if you are not partakers of the Spirit of God and eating of his flesh, then you will wither away and die. We have to be partakers and drink of his blood. When Jesus said that to his own disciples, they got scattered in their mind, like, man, what is this guy saying? Are we supposed to be cannibalistic? You see, Jesus said so many things the Bible said that was hard for them to understand. And even Brother Paul said things that was hard for them to comprehend and understand. But brothers and sisters, we got to pray that God would grant us this revelation, this understanding that we can understand God's word. That we're not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Or like a man just running and beating at the air, the Bible says. We've got to understand. Now, I'll say this in the fact of speaking of things here and maybe help some people to understand a little bit or challenge you. I'm trying to, honest to God, if you understand what I'm trying to challenge you in the way that you think. I was talking with a minister on the phone many years ago, and we were talking about the doctrine of sin. He got mad at me and hung up. I called him back. I said, brother, don't you ever hang up on me. The Bible says that a wise man will hear the end of the matter. He never listened for the end of the matter. The most standard teaching out here in our churches today is that you're a sinner and that you sin every day. How many have heard that? Just simply, please, raise your hand. How many of you heard that you're a sinner and you sin every day? The Bible said all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And yes, you were born a sinner. How many in here believe that you're not a sinner? Raise your hand. Okay, that might be tough for some of you to do because you've been taught all of your life that you're a sinner. Okay, well, let me ask you this. I want you to raise your hand in here that are of the devil. I don't see a hand. But we can have a real interesting altar service if any hands went up. But the Bible said, ye that sin, that's what the Bible says, ye that sin are of the devil. Now I said that to that minister. He was disputing with me. He said, "Brother, I'm a sinner and I sin every day." And I said, "You're of the devil." Boy, he didn't like that. He was mad. But you see, "Well, Brother Rob, you're rude, man. You should have never said that. You offended the man." Well, my Bible teaches that we're not supposed to be offended. And my Bible also says the minister's rude in speech. So I guess I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. But I'm just quoting what the Bible says in 1 John the 3rd chapter. It said, "Ye that sin are of the devil." And the Bible clearly says, "Ye that are born of God cannot sin because his seed remaineth within you." You surely don't believe that, do you, Brother Rob? I surely believe this word, and it's God's word. Okay? So you believe that you're born of God and you can just go live like a dog and a devil and frolic in the world and drink and carry on and do all those kind of things, and that you are born again? That ain't at all what I said. Do you believe that you could live a righteous enough a life on this side that you would not be considered a sinner, and that you could have everything in order, you don't break no speed laws and you don't do this and you don't do that? That ain't at all what I said. There was one man that fulfilled the law. The Pharisees couldn't do it. The priests couldn't do it, and you can't do it. So why then can you say that you are not a sinner? Because I'm born of God, and his seed remaineth in me. It's because Jesus came and died for my sin. He said he shed his blood to put my sin as far as the east is from the west, and I'm just crazy enough to believe that he done that. I'm crazy enough to believe that his life and his bloodshed was good enough for me, that he took the handwriting of offense and took it out of the way, and he put my sin out of the way and buried it in a sea of forgetfulness, and that he has changed me. The Bible says that when we are born of God, when we talk about the transformation of mind, the justification in the Spirit, or the translation into the Spirit, and we talk about this change, brothers and sisters, we are a new creature in Christ Jesus. The old Rob Coons passed away and all things become new. Paul made that statement. So what I'm being, when I'm birthed into this kingdom of God, I'm birthed into it and I'm no longer a sinner. Either you're a sinner or you're a saint. Yeah, but that's on the other side. What's the other side? Help me out. Well, I'm waiting to go to heaven. Where's heaven at? Oh, it's up. What about the guy in Japan? Where's he pointing to? Science is out there looking around. They haven't found this heaven. Where is heaven? You're going the wrong way. According to the word of God, the kingdom of God's within. Christ dwelling within our heart. You're never going to understand God. You can't go out and find him on a spaceship. The Bible said we're dwelling in heavenly places. Where's Christ at? I could get you and maybe help you there. Well, he's in heaven. Oh, he is. Then heaven must be right here. Because we came in his name. And if two or three gathered in his name, he is there. Oh, but he left heaven and he came down here. He did condescend to men of a less estate, the Bible says. He did condescend and walked among men. But he said it was expedient that he went back to the Father. And the Father's in heaven and Christ dwelling within our heart. You're never going to understand God. You can't go out and find him on a spaceship. The Bible said we're dwelling in heavenly places. Where's Christ at? I could get you and maybe help you there. Well, he's in heaven. Oh, he is. Then heaven must be right here. Because we came in his name. And if two or three gathered in his name, he is there. Oh, but he left heaven and he came down here. If it doesn't line up with the word is the thing, is the absolute in all religions. But when we say, well, we don't believe this today and we got to start ripping out parts of our Bible, that's a good indication it's time to depart from whatever religion that you are part of. Well, you know, but that's the way God was back then. You know, God did it back then, you know, 2,000 years ago or 4,000 years ago. He don't do that today. My Bible doesn't teach me that. I don't limit God. I don't limit what he can do today. You limit him. God is the same today, yesterday, and forever. He's still doing the same things today. We are the body of Christ. That's what the Bible teaches us. He's still feeding today. How many of you have taken some food out of your cabinets and went and fed somebody? You see, the multitudes are still being fed, sending thousands of dollars and hundreds and thousands of pounds of food around the world. This is by the love of God of a country that still honors Jesus Christ. He's still doing the same in a many-membered body. We're part of the body of Christ, brothers and sisters. Bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. He gave you the power to be the sons of God. But people are afraid to speak like that. You think you're a son of God? The Bible thinks I'm a son of God. The Bible said he died that I could be. Amen. Jesus, the firstborn of many brethren. If he's the firstborn of many brethren and he's my brother, we have the same father. The Bible says that same spirit crying, Abba, Father. He is my father. I believe this. Get out of your just religious doctrine. The Bible said they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power of God. The power of God, brothers and sisters, is to keep you from sin. The power of God is to give you the power, brothers and sisters, to be the sons of God. That's what God's power came for. Start believing it. Start walking in it. Start letting it manifest within your life. There's so many things that I've said here this morning, it would take hours to tie them all together. And I would take adequate time and I'd talk with you for hours and hours. I love to do that. I love to just get in the Word and discuss the things of God and the Word of God. I like to challenge you in the way that you think. You see, there's sometimes we come to church and we look at the minister and we think, well, I want to hear what I've already know. Well, then I've done you no good. Well, I know that Jesus Christ died for you. I know that He shed His blood. I know that He atoned for sin. I know that He is my Savior and my salvation. And without Him, there is no way, that He's the way, the truth, and the life, and there's no way to enter in. But the Bible teaches us not to again lay the foundation of repentance. So if every time you come to church, you hear that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and that you must be saved, and you come up and you've said this prayer and all this, and we do that every time, you see, you're not growing in the grace and knowledge of God. We've got to start pressing in to His Word and having a hunger and a desire for more of His Word and to understand it and quit ripping pages out of our Bible or saying, we just won't know on this side. The Bible says that the wicked don't understand. I don't want to be numbered in wickedness. And if He's given us His Spirit and we pray that He would grant unto us this revelation, or revelation is a revealing, then He's going to start revealing things. And it's just not a knowledge, it's a life. It's good to talk about the life of Jesus, but it's better to live it. They said that Brother Branham, I heard him make a statement on a tape, and he said, as a minister rebuked him. They were in a disagreement over the Word of God. And a minister rebuked him and said, he said, you don't know your Bible. And he said, you're right. A humble answer. But he said, I know the author. I would rather know the author and have him guiding my life and leading me as know the Word, because there's many people that know the Bible, but they don't know the author. They've never really had a born-again experience. They've never really experienced a living God dwelling in their life that is giving them and empowering them to be different. You see, if the Bible says you as a Christian are peculiar, you're different. If your religion lets you look like the world, act like the world, walk like the world, and be partakers of the world, your religion isn't of God. The Bible said, come out of the world and be a separate people. We're peculiar. The Bible said that if you love the world, that God's not in your heart, because the world loveth its own. And the Bible said that if He's dwelling within you, it said that they hated Him first and they're going to hate you also. When you're popular and everybody likes you, it's evident that you don't have God in your life. They didn't like Him. For what good works? Jesus asked him, for what good works have I done to you that you want to take and stone me to death? And they said, because you're a mere man making yourself to be God. This is why the religious people of America don't like revelational teaching. They don't like the things that we teach, because you're a mere man making yourself to be God. No, I'm not a mere man making myself to be God. I'm a mere man that was born with a sentence unto death. And it was appointed unto man once to die, then the judgment of Almighty God. Well, then Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ and no longer live. And we were crucified with Christ. I've been crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, and I no longer live. Go read Galatians 2:20. And this is what it says. And this is what we got to apply to our life. So we don't sit here and think like that. We say that, we no longer live, and now it's Him living, it's Him dwelling. And He's given us, empowered us to be the sons of God. Now, let me ask you this. I'm going to say this. Brother Pike used to say this so oftentimes. I haven't said this for some time. He said that when a dog enters into a relationship with a dog, it begets a dog, doesn't it? Nobody's going to dispute that. A hippo, an elephant, a horse, a cow, a man, and a woman are going to bring forth a child after their kind. Now, if we are going to say that we are born of God, now we know the Bible says that you must be born again to inherit the kingdom of God. And that's Bible. And none of us should dispute on that. It doesn't matter what religion we come from or whatever. It's just simply what the Bible says in the Gospel of John, very clear in 3, that you must be born again to inherit the kingdom of God. So then, if we say this and we, I'm a man, you may be a woman or whatever, and you say, well, my mother's such, such, my father's such and such, and they begot you. Okay? I don't have a problem with that. But now I've got a heavenly father, We don't have a problem knowing that He is God, and that I'm born of God, and that we're begotten of God according to the Scriptures, but then yet He made me a man. Come on. This is why when we're born again, it's not necessary to be born again. Nicodemus was supposed to be a great Bible scholar, and he's asking the Lord Jesus, and he said, come on, you know, you're one of these great men, you know, that's well known all throughout Israel. And here you're asking me an ignorant question is the way Jesus answered him. You know, do I enter back into my mother's womb? That's not being born again. You don't enter back into your mother's womb. It's a birthing, brothers and sisters. And when you're born in, by the Spirit, you are spirit and you're born of God. That's why the Bible said when they asked Jesus and they disputed with him about being God, he said, but the Bible says that ye are gods, but you die like mere men. Why? The Bible's clear. The Bible said you die like mere men because of a lack of knowledge. I've came to a knowledge. I'm not lacking that knowledge that I've already died with Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, been crucified. And the life that I now live in this flesh, I live by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. You may not see it. The Bible said it's the world that's yearning and waiting and longing for the manifestation of the sons of God. I'm not waiting on the manifestations of the sons of God. I know that I am a son of God by the birthing of Christ and the works that He done. Not by anything that I've done, not by anything that I earned. He said that He saved me before the world ever was, put my name in the book of life before the foundation of this world. So it isn't anything that I've done. Said that He saved me when I was still yet in my sin. So I can't stand before you and boast that I'm some great person or done some great things. I'm talking about I am a blessed individual because Jesus blessed me, and blessed is the man who God does not impute sin, because the imputing of sin is death. And I've passed from death unto life, amen, because I'm an eternal creature in Christ Jesus. I'm living forever, amen. I cannot die. Oh, but one day you're going to be surprised to throw you in a box. That's not death. That's what Jesus tried to tell him when they went to Lazarus. When they went to Talitha and she was laying there and all of her family's mourning and weeping. And he said, she's not dead. She's just asleep. And they scorned the Lord Jesus. He knew what he was saying. Jesus Christ is God, brothers and sisters. He wasn't some kind of an ignorant man. He knew what he was saying. They throw me in a box. The Bible talks about going on to sleep with the forefathers. That box does not have anything to do with death. The Bible, see, just to show that maybe you don't understand what death is, the Bible said that there's some twice dead, plucked up by the roots, while they still yet live and walk on this earth. So that must mean that we have the wrong concept of what death is and what life is. We better start getting established in the Word of God. We better start getting into some sound doctrine and sound teaching and start knowing who we are in Him. We better be careful what we're eating and partaking of. Now the thing is when you come to a revelation and maybe have to shift from one kind of a teaching or come out of one thing, you say, oh man, that other is so terrible and so bad. Oh, them people are all lost. They're all on their way to hell. See, you can't think that way because God used that as a stepping stone for you through the transformation of your thoughts. He used that place for a growing ground. I don't despise or have any regrets of my early years of life of going to a Baptist church and a Baptist church camp hearing about Jesus Christ as my Savior. I can't walk in fellowship with the Baptists no longer because of some of the doctrines that I've come to got my eyes opened up. I come to find out are still Catholic doctrine. And I can't no longer teach Catholic doctrine in the perspective. You say, well, you're coming against Catholics. Well, there might be a Catholic out there that's born of God, but he will lead them into the truth. But you cannot be born of God and continue to believe a lie and be damned because they're teaching false doctrine. If you're praying to Mary, God's a jealous God. And if they're teaching and encourage you to speak and to pray to Mary, that's witchcraft. Boy, she's a blessed woman. I don't dispute that. But I can't pray to her. She's not my salvation. She's not my Savior. And she's not my mediator between God and man. That's Jesus and Him alone. He's the one that shed the blood. He's the one that died. And if I start trying to pray to her, my prayers are not taken to God. And there's no salvation in that. Oh, but she's the mother of God. She is? Surely you don't believe that. Well, I do believe it. Well, you just need to get in the Bible. When He has no mother nor father, no beginning and no end, how could she be the mother of God when He has no beginning? Well, she was the mother of Jesus. She begot the Son of Man, but the Spirit of God was dwelling in fullness in the Son of Man. And you have to learn to differentiate between the Son of Man and the Son of God, between the Lord and the Christ, or you'll never understand God. We have to learn to do that. He said he made himself twain, both Lord and Christ. Well, that's two. Twain. But you teach three gods in your Trinity doctrine. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Well, the Bible teaches that, doesn't it? But the Bible also teaches these three are one. But then you say three persons. The Bible doesn't teach that. When you say three persons, a person is a personification, and a person, if I got three persons sitting here, I could tell you all day long these three are one, and you're going to have a real problem with that. But I could say I have a body, soul, spirit, and I'm one. My spirit leaves the body, and the body's dead. But I still got a body there. It's a dead body laying there. And the spirit's alive in Christ and forever, dwelling in the heavenly places. So I'm differentiating between the body and the spirit and the soul. And this is where people haven't learned to differentiate between the body, soul, spirit, Father, Word, Holy Ghost, natural, physical, spiritual, water, blood, and spirit. They haven't learned to differentiate those things. And when they haven't learned to differentiate those things, they're in some kind of a make-believe world of carnality, human reasoning, and religion. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power of God. So what we need to do is come into unity in one mind and one accord, not piercing each other through nor breaking rank, and start pressing into the kingdom of God and the word of God, growing in his grace and knowledge. If you perish without a vision, let's get a vision, doing something as unto the Lord. Amen. That's what we have to do. Hope you don't mind me just talking with you a little bit this morning. I hope I challenged you in thought. I'm going to read some scripture here. I got my Bible open over in the book of Romans, for we could say the word of God has been read here this morning. We've heard the word of God all morning. It's your duty to go and look and challenge. Go turn to Romans 6, please. I love the word of God. I like to be challenged in the word. If I just go around people and they just want to talk about what I already know, that's okay. I'm not offended when people come to me and challenge me in the word. People come to me on a continuous basis. Well, I'm not in agreement with you on that. Well, okay, well, let's go to the scriptures. Go to the word. Maybe help me. If I'm in error, you know, praise God, man. He hasn't given me a spirit of error, and he'll lead me into all truth. And if I've got to get away from something, I'll get away from it, because I've had to do that. But I can tell you one thing. I might make a mistake, but this word is not a mistake, and there is no mistakes in this word. This word is true. Amen. And let every man be a liar, according to the scriptures. Okay, Romans 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? How many of you were baptized in Jesus Christ? You were baptized into his death. You were buried with him. That waterly just wasn't some religious washing according to the scriptures. That's not what it is. You see, you need to understand things and how things are taking place. But let's go on. Verse 4. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Are you a child of the resurrection? Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Kind of starts changing the way we think on our sin doctrines. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, okay, likewise. Now, we just read this about Jesus. It's easy to receive that about Jesus. Oh, yeah, he's God. Emmanuel, God with us. We could receive that. But now he says, likewise. Likewise, reckon ye also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. If you're walking in sin and you're a sinner, sin has dominion over you. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. I choose obedience unto righteousness. You need to be taught that you can overcome sin. You need to be taught that he made you perfect. He says, be ye perfect as your Father in heaven, as your master. He teaches us that. But when you're under a doctrine that you're not perfect and you're going to sin and you're going to fall and you're going to do this, then you're going to go ahead and continue to do that. I don't receive that doctrine. He said that he has given us the power of God. He has infilled us with the Holy Ghost that we can overcome these things. We are overcomers in Christ. We are not no longer given to the beggarly elements of this world. We are not no longer going to submit to the alcohol. We are no longer going to submit to the dope or the lust of this world. We're not no longer going to submit to those things. If you're being taught that, you know, oh, you're going to stumble, you're going to fall, you will. But you're not being taught that. You are taught that you are full of the power of the living God and that you are overcomers in Christ and that you could put all things under your feet and you could trample on the scorpions and the serpents and all the things of this world. There ain't anything, brothers and sisters, that you cannot overcome with Jesus Christ. Amen. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. Aren't you glad we hear doctrine and preach the doctrine of God? Which was delivered you, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your member servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. That's why I'm a holiness preacher. Without holiness, the Bible said, no man will see God. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin, wow, free from sin, and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I challenge you, some of you, maybe to go over and read 1 John, the third chapter, when you get home. Maybe you could read that a little bit and start understanding some things. Brothers and sisters, you will receive the fruit of your thoughts. The Bible says that he will give you the fruit of your thoughts. And if your thoughts are that you're a sinner and that you sin every day, then he'll give you the fruit of that and you will walk in sin. You will walk in lasciviousness and you'll stumble through this world and you won't have the fruit of the Spirit in your life. You need to know what Jesus done for you. You need to believe what he's done for you. You need to know that when he made a promise that it was met and it was fulfilled. And you need to be partakers of the promises of God and quit putting the blessings of God off on some other world or some other distant time or some other day. Jesus Christ is alive and he's well and he's with us. He's never left us nor forsaken us. He's given us the power of life now. Well, don't you believe that someday that when you're throwing your box, if you call it death or if you call it sleep or whatever you call it, that you're going to enter into the presence of God? Brothers and sisters, that's what I've been trying to teach you this morning. I've already died. I've been crucified with Christ. That's the only death I'll ever die. I've passed from death. I've already entered into fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I walk with him. I fellowship with him. He sups with me. I sup with him. That's what the scripture says. This is life. I've entered into life. I'm not waiting on some kind of hope. The hope came at Calvary. The hope came there and he died and shed his blood and gave me life. I believe that. Well, don't you believe that there's going to be some kind of something that takes place or something that happens? Brothers and sisters, what could be greater than that? Let me tell you something. This world is temporal. This thing that you're looking at with your eyes is a natural man that is aging. Hair falling out. And yes, someday they'll throw that thing in a box if the Lord tarries. You understand that? But that has nothing to do with death. Has nothing to do with life. Naturally speaking, we could say, well, yeah, maybe a natural death. But we're not supposed to think on natural things. We're supposed to think on spiritual things. We're not supposed to look on the lying vanities of the flesh. We're supposed to look on things of the Spirit and Spirit life. So don't let that sicken your heart or don't let that defer your hope. That has nothing to do with what life is. Jesus Christ is a healer. You see one sick and you say, oh, he's not a healer. No! That one maybe didn't receive, or maybe ye that suffer in the flesh cease from sin, and maybe that man was in a sinful way in the perspective that God allowed him to suffer in his flesh that he could cease from sin. That's what the Bible says. Do you think that everybody that suffers is in sin? Well, surely not. Jesus suffered and he overcome sin, and sin had no hold on him, but he received all of your sin that you would have it no more. Don't you believe that? I believe what Jesus done at the cross of Calvary was fulfilled and finished and done. When he hung his head and said, "It's finished," I believe what he said. If death wasn't abolished on the cross of Calvary, somebody tell me when it was. But the Bible said the last enemy of God is death. Well, let me tell you something. It's the enemy of God in your carnal mind right now in this day. But if you'd put your carnal mind to death, and it's conquered, and you've passed from death unto life. The only one that's going to hinder you and keep you from the revelation of the Lord Jesus revealing Christ in your life is the accuser of the brethren, Satan. And he's going to continue to do that, for you cannot bring forth the fruit and the manifestation of God in your life. Brothers and sisters, don't limit God. Don't doubt God. Don't make God that he cannot and he won't. God can do all things. But he can't do anything in your unbelief. Now, with Jesus, we cannot dispute here. We're going to have to come to some absolutes in this word. And we got to know that Jesus is God according to the word. Emmanuel, God with us. When Philip asked Jesus, he said, "You know, when will we see the Father?" And he said, "I and the Father are one." You can go read that in John 14. Very clear. So Jesus is God. We should have an absolute of that. Now, we know that if the Bible says that the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, these three are one, we should be established in that in thought. Well, he sent back the Holy Ghost. That's God dwelling in us. The Bible said it's the same Spirit that dwelled in Christ Jesus that will dwell within your mortal body and raise you up from the dead. The same Spirit. So we got to know we have the same God dwelling in us that Jesus had dwelling in him. Bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, partakers of the many-membered body of Christ. Now see, we need to believe this because he said it. We need to quit thinking like men think and start thinking like God thinks. This is why the Bible said, "Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Transform your mind into the mind of Christ, casting down every thought and every vain imagination." These are things that we've got to do. The warfare and the travail that we're in is in the soul realm, the second heaven. We got to learn to travail and war in that. Now I said second heaven. That's because the Bible said this man being 14 years ago, whatever he said, not knowing whether he was in body or in spirit, but he said he was caught into the third heaven. If there's a third heaven, I'm telling you, you can't have the third of anything. I didn't have my third child first. I had the first child, the second child, and the third child. And when there's a third heaven, that means there's a second heaven and a first heaven. Bible says water, blood, spirit, natural, physical, spiritual. And we go to the first heaven, the second heaven, the third heaven. Sometimes you understand things in a third heavenly perspective or in a first heavenly perspective, and I might be teaching a second. You say, "I just don't see that." Get your eyes opened up that you could understand and see good when good comes, and that you could start differentiating God, start differentiating you. You were born as a man, as a sinner. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And it was appointed unto you once to die. Accept the death with Jesus Christ at Calvary, living by faith, believing that you died with him, and now you could live with him. If you don't die with him, you can't live with him. There must first be a death before there could be a life. It said that one has got to be planted. It talks about being sowed mortal, raised immortal, sown telestial, raised celestial, sown in iniquity, raised up in righteousness. You see, brothers and sisters, we got to differentiate of who you are in your first birth and who you are in your born again. So now what are you? If the first one died, then who lives? It's Christ. That's why the Bible said it's no longer the minister speaking, but Christ speaking. So I tried to yield this instrument over to Jesus Christ and let the oracles of heaven, of God, speak forth through me. I yield myself to that. I didn't come with notes this morning. I didn't stay in a study and study. And the Bible said to study to show thyself approved, a workman who need not to be ashamed. I understand that. We need to meditate in his word day and night. I understand that. We need to be reading his word. I understand that. But I didn't make a bunch of notes this morning and say, "Well, this is when I'm going to come to church and this is what I'm going to talk about." I come because he is the great physician. And if you have sicknesses in your life, spiritual, if they're spiritual wickedness, or if they're natural or physical things, then that's what the Lord is going to deal with. He's going to deal with you as an individual. And he's going to speak to you as an individual because he loves you. And if there's anything through the human mind of human reasoning that separates you from God, when you come into the presence of God, he's going to deal with that to help you, that you could grow in the grace and knowledge of God. That's the way he is love. Does that make me better than you? No. We all the same, man. All men's hearts are fashioned alike. Man, we're all, without Jesus Christ, we all have no hope. And we're all lost, going to hell. And we're going to burn forever and ever. And we'll find ourselves chewing on each other in the lake of fire, according to the scriptures. That's what you got to look forward to as a man. So what you need to do is kill him out and let Christ live. And look forward to the blessings with Jesus Christ, that you could live and dwell with him forever and ever. I love y'all and appreciate you. I appreciate you giving me adequate time this morning. Let's stand together. Amen. Remember Brother Chuck Kistler, going through some infirmities himself. And pray for him. Amen. He's paralyzed, you know, and crippled in a wheelchair. And you say, well, brother, I hear you talking about God being a healer. And I hear you talking about those things, but then yet you're talking about a man in a wheelchair. Where is this God at? Well, let me tell you something about the man that's in a wheelchair, real prompt and real quick for just a second here. The man had perfect health, college education, college degrees. Worldly, you'd esteem him as a great man. He probably could outran you, probably could outran me, because everything he does is pretty good, you know, physically speaking. But when you looked at him with your natural eyes, he had good eyesight, good health. He could run, walk, do all those things. And you think, man, praise God. But God suffered and allowed for him to be smitten and put in a wheelchair before he could learn to walk. Oh, you mean he's going to get out of that wheelchair and walk? No, he learned to walk when he was in the wheelchair. Jesus looked at him and he said, though you have eyes to see, you do not see. Though you have ears to hear, you do not hear. Now, he was talking to people that were looking right at him. He said, though you have eyes, you do not see. Now, the thing is that there's people that have good physical health, but they don't have no spiritual health. The Bible says, walk ye in the Spirit. We need to open up our ears to hear what the Spirit of God says. See, it's a different ear. This man had natural and physical eyesight and walk. He wasn't lame, naturally speaking, but he was lame spiritually. He did not know God, was not walking with God. The Bible said, ye that suffer in the flesh cease from sin. The man went through suffering and bound in a wheelchair, but he came to know Jesus Christ. The Bible said you're better off to cut off your hand and enter into the kingdom of God as go into hell with all of your faculties or facilities, with your eyesight, with your hands. God would rather see you lose an arm and come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior and enter into eternal life. He would rather see you put in a wheelchair for the rest of your days on this earth and learn to walk in the Spirit of God. You know, there's men that are blind, that walk with the white stick, but they have eyesight that some men have never seen. You might have 20/20 vision, but they have seen into the kingdom of God, and they write down beautiful hymns and songs and write down things because they've saw into the spirit world. Don't judge everything by what you see and what's natural. You see, you say, well, Jesus raised them up from the dead, brother. Jesus opened up their blinded eyes. Jesus made the lame to walk. We do that right here. Because there's people that come in here that are bound in doctrines of devils and never walked in the liberty of the Spirit of God. And we indoctrinate them by the Word of God. And they get their eyes opened up. They get their ears opened up. And they learn to walk in the Spirit. That's the greatest miracle of all. You take a man out of a wheelchair and he goes out in the dance halls and he goes to hell. You take a man that's blind and get his eyesight opened up and he starts looking and lusting after women. And if he looks upon and lusts after these women, according to the scriptures, he would be an adulterer by looking and lusting after them and committing it in his mind first. No action. And the man go to hell and you say, man, I'm a great healing minister. Man, look what I've done. I opened up that man's eyes and you put him in hell. You see, God may open up their blinded eyes. We've seen God do the natural miracles, open up natural ears, open up natural eyes. But it's far more important to get spiritual eyes opened up. And if God would have to make one blind that he could see, brothers and sisters, then let it be to God. Evil can't come to the city lest he send it. And this is what we have to learn to understand. Do you know God? I preached a message here a few weeks ago about the unknown God. And the Jesus Christ is an unknown God to America. You know, oh, but God is love. He said he's angry with the wicked and pursues them off the face of this earth. Evil can't come to the city lest I send it, saith the Lord. He has his way in the good and the evil. You know, well, God surely wouldn't afflict somebody. You sure don't know him. If he's the same yesterday and forever, how come he opened up the earth and swallowed up his own elect, being a natural Jew? See, you need to learn and understand and know God. He said he'll laugh on your day of calamity. Oh, God wouldn't laugh at me in my day of calamity. He surely would. When the Bible teaches that, God judges, God smites, God disciplines. He said he chastens them that he loves. Somebody tell me how he chastens. He may chasten through sickness. He may chasten through whatever means. The Bible said that if you don't sow into the things of God or the kingdom of God, he'll put holes in your pockets. That's the chastening of the Lord. You won't prosper. That's the chastening of God. Well, who cut the holes in his pockets? He did. He said it in his word, and his word's true. See, we need to learn to understand God. I love y'all and appreciate you. Let's sing a song. I'll just keep on going. There's no place to stop. There's no place to close when you start talking about God. He's an eternal God. Jesus, yeah, but you should preach about 30 minutes. Jesus, I don't know. I can remember Brother Paul teaching. They went all night long and a man fell asleep in the window and fell out on the ground from the second floor and died. He went out and laid across him and the man came to life. Jesus rebuked them when they went to the garden. He said, couldn't you just pray with me just for 1 hour? Knowing what was about to become? How come we've got these thoughts that, well, you're supposed to preach 15 minutes or 30 minutes? You know what? It isn't that way. You go in the restaurant and sit there for 5 hours stuffing your face. You know, let's have a hunger for the word and the truth. Shouldn't be filled pressed to close the service. We should just stay in the grace of the living God. And the love of God. Brothers and sisters, let's join together. Let's labor unto the Lord. Together. Let's do something for God. Let's help somebody. There's people without God, brothers and sisters. When my pastor sent me up here, he said, those people don't need revelation. He said, they need some good old-fashioned holiness preaching. Does that mean we don't preach revelation? No. But you see, we could have revelation and have not holiness or profit you nothing. We need, brothers and sisters, to walk in unity and love. We know we pass from the death unto life because we love the brethren. Amen? That's what the Bible says. We need to have a love one for another. We need to press into the things of God and the kingdom of God. We need to have to want to share the good news of the gospel. That's what we need to do. The altars are open. If there's any others that would like to gather into the altars. The Bible said if there's any sick or afflicted among you, to let them come forward into the church and let the elders lay hands on them and anoint them with oil. And it said they shall be healed. Amen. We believe that here in this church. Amen. So we exercise the word of God. If you know not the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and never been born again, this is your opportunity to stand before God and make a confession with your mouth and believe within your heart. There's many thousands of people that do that do not find him. But still, that's what the word says, so we still operate and exercise that. If you would pray, say, God, I know I don't understand my own heart, but I want you, I love you, I need a Savior, I need salvation. I need to be an overcomer and walk in the love of God. I need to overcome the worldly love, the worldly pride. Need to overcome the things of the world. And the Bible says, come out of the world, be a separate people. You need to be separate. Get out of the world. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Did you see the light? Were you at the cross and saw the light of the love of God and the understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ? Did you see that? Thank you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. Father God, these brethren that stand here this morning within these altars, I want y'all to just point your hands and lift your hands. The Bible said lifting up holy hands, amen, commanding us to do so. Point your hands toward these brethren. Father God, in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus, Father, knowing that you hear their petitions and grant them unto them even before they speak them. And Father God, I ask you this morning, Father God, to touch, to lead, to help, to guide, to deliver, to set free. Father, in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Father God, knowing that you hear our prayers, Father God, knowing that you are concerned about our problems, complications, failures, shortcomings. Father God, I pray again in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, we ask you to move in these brethren's behalf. Hallelujah. Father, let their weaknesses be made into strengths. Father God, let their stumblings be turned around and use those for stepping stones, those stumbling blocks of offense, that they could reach into higher heights and deeper and greater places with you. Father God, I thank you for your mercy, your love, your kindness, your gentleness. I thank you for your blood shed. I thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace. Father God, teach us to be overcomers and to walk in the Spirit. Teach us, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Father, to walk in the Spirit. Help us. Guide us. Lead us. Father, unify this body of believers together. Let us do great exploits for thy name's sake. Father God, let us go throughout all the world preaching the good news of the gospel, seeing an increase added unto your kingdom. Father, I thank you for showing us the authority that we have over the adversary, the enemy, the devil. Father, that we could speak him out of an existence within our own life. Hallelujah. Father, let our light shine. Let us be a light into this world. Father, let us not veil or hide this, but let us bring forth the light of the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God as we dwell together and walk together. I love you, Lord Jesus, and I thank you, Lord. Our prayers are heard and our prayers are answered, Lord God. I thank you, God. Hallelujah. Teach us, lead us, and guide us. We love you and thank you. Jesus.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina, 27261. We, the brothers and sisters at Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come and worship with us. Our services are on Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Wednesday night at 7 p.m., and we also have a Friday night service at 7 p.m. We are located at 304 Green Oak Drive, just off Highway 62 in Archdale. Thanks again, and may God richly bless you.